have people with your phones.
In the old days, we didn't use the phones. We just shouted at people to have loud voices.
It's Magnum Podcast. I'm Jason Snell, and I'm joined as always by David J. Lohr and Philip Michaels. Hi, guys.
Hot damn, it's the Lupo.
I'm so happy you could invite me on your podcast. It's so good to be here.
Listen, man.
We don't need old mustachios anymore.
We do it our way, our modern way.
I might be an with old a typewriter. Mustache. As you call me, but I can still do a podcast. Hi, everyone. It's Michael Gazzo, the Godfather 2.
We are here to discuss, as you might have guessed, Season 1, Episode 8, The Ugliest Dog in Hawaii. And,
well, when you hear Michael Gazzo impersonations,
you know.
Excuse me, Michael
There's only
the
one.
Gazzo. Michael the Gazzo, I should say.
Yes,
but,
yes.
There's only one Magnum episode we could be talking about.
Oh, The Ugliest Dog in Hawaii. I have no memory of seeing this episode. I watched this, and I could not love this episode more. I really couldn't. It is delightful. It has so many things in it that are funny and ridiculous. Some things that are legitimately exciting. I am an old Italian gangster, and you will pay me respect. The grumpy old man.
Pretty much.
He does not like how the kids are no good. The kids just like
the kids
they don't
these
do.
Days.
Back with your father and I, we would just take our guns and shoot people. What's all this subterfuge for?
And today the modern gangsters are going to Harvard. Yale or one of those what? Fancy
Yale.
Schools.
Yale.
Well, yes, but they keep getting it wrong. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a blog post you could read that's from Alan Cole, one of the co-writers of this episode, about how they pitched this story, which is they made it up after all their other pitches got shot down. Mm-hmm. It's ludicrous, and it's great because it's Mr. Magnum, someone is trying to kill my... Sir Algernon Farnsworth.
Come on, show the man a respect. He's a lord.
Yes,
or knighted.
Who turns out to be this kind of homely dog who's in quarantine, but somebody's trying to get him, and it's the old mobster man is trying to get him for reasons that remain a mystery until the very end of the episode. And so, there's dog napping. There's like a double subterfuge at the kennel where Magnum goes posed as an inspector, and they're like, oh, the other inspectors are already in there. I was like, oh boy. Mm-hmm. There's a car chase that's like legitimately exciting. We get our first appearance of the Magnum PI theme song as we know it and love it. It appears in the episode and then over the end credits. It will soon be everywhere.
But it's not quite.
Not quite.
It's like the time signature is a little different. And the instrumentation is different. It's kind of fascinating to listen to it.
But that moment where the Ferrari, or it's not even the Ferrari. It's the because they were going to wreck the Ferrari. It's the Jimmy. It's the Jeep product placement Jimmy. The GMC Jimmy.
Mr. Masters' favorite truck.
Yes, he peels that out of the gas station, and the almost Magnum PI theme plays as they're being chased by the dog napping mobsters. It's great, and they're cutting through like weird paths in Hawaii.
A banana plantation.
Oh man, it's funny, and that's exciting, and yeah, it's mm-hmm. ludicrous, and it made me laugh, and it's great.
What's kind of cool is that it actually lets a chase play out kind of realistically, kind of in real time. It takes up about half the episode,
yeah,
all in all, which, you know, it's almost like the Most Dangerous Game with a dog.
An ugly dog.
Yeah. And when they've run out of places to drive, they just do the chase on foot past some very nice marijuana growers.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the local pot growers make an appearance, and Magnum. Okay, all right. We also have to
Magnum
talk.
Magnum knows how to deal with it.
Magnum knows exactly what to say. He's like, "Oh man, you know, we were out here looking for our patch too, but there's some feds chasing me." And meanwhile, Gloria, is it Gloria? See,
no, Sharon.
No, Sharon.
No, Sharon. It's Sharon. The most annoying
who actually works for the agricultural department and could not be more square if she had 90-degree angles on all her sides.
No, so Magnum's like, oh, yeah, we were coming out here to get our patch, too, but the feds are chasing us. And she's like, Magnum, that's not true. And it's just that totally, like...
I'm a government official. Ixnay on the government official gay.
And this is marijuana here. What does she say? This is cannabis.
This is grass. This is cannabis.
She says this is cannabis, and he says that it's grass. And I wonder about the back and forth in CBS's standards and practices to admit the existence of marijuana, illicit marijuana. But of course, it is solved by, as they walk away from there, Magnum says, and of course, I'll report them later to the authorities.
Yes. Magnum's a snitch. Yeah. A no good snitch.
Those guys didn't, you know, those guys didn't hurt them in any way. But,
no,
you know,
in
guess
fact,
so.
They kind of helped them by shooting at
the mobsters who were chasing them. Exactly.
Right. Who they thought were feds.
They do end up in like an abandoned, I don't know what, research station or something that's there. And that so they get a gunfight there, and TC picks them up and, you know, gets a bullet hole through
his... Coincidentally.
Yeah, well, yeah, TC's looking for them and spots them. But it's
fun. Because as he's flying along, he goes, it's like, are you kidding me? Or something like that. I thought he just came upon them by accident.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think he said he was looking for them, and then he spotted.
He was looking for Magnum. He spotted the Jimmy in the banana bushes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
When we were watching that, I was saying, oh, it's Deus Ex TC. Deus Ex Helicopter.
Island Hoppers. Yeah, Island Hoppers. It's true. The whole. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. The gangsters are great.
I'll jump in.
Yeah,
because the first time I was watching my way through the Magnum shows. This was about 9 years ago during the infamous Summer of Magnum.
Yes,
and and I was kind of watching them chronologically because that's how they were showing them on the local channel, and. This episode, episode 8 of the first season, really is the first time Magnum truly assumes its righteous form.
Yeah,
like
yes.
There had been bits and bobs, and they had, oh yeah, this is engaging and all. But this is where Magnum is Magnum. This is Magnum's bar mitzvah. Today he becomes a man. All you
he's,
need
he's
is
recognizably
TC
Magnum
and Rick carrying him around on a chair. This is the show. where Magnum is finally it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. finally recognizably Magnum. He's not passive, he's not dumb. He actually makes smart choices.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not necessarily in time.
We could say that leaving the lady with the dumb lady with the dog at the gas station.
She's clearly afraid of dogs.
Yeah, that was not
to walk
too sharp.
All the way over to the far off payphone in order to call to tell TC to, you know, look around for them or something like. Because they were being chased. Well, it was a moment where I thought, you're... And then the large fuel truck parks in between them, and it's like, oh, well, I can see what's going to happen here. But yeah, he's smart, and he's funny, and he gets it, and she's annoying, but he, you know, he knows what he's doing, and Higgins, he jousts with Higgins, but it's all just kind of funny about, like, building the dog run for the dog, and...
And stealing tennis court time away from Jimmy Connors and Bjorn Borg.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
that's right, because they were there as guests of Robbins.
You get your classic TC complaining about how he's being ripped off by Magnum with all the money Magnum owes.
He itemizes it, yeah.
Yeah, an itemized list.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be even charging him, like giving him the Kamaina discount or the friend's discount. He's just giving him full rates for Thomas.
I believe he's getting a markup, actually.
Yeah, it could be.
And you get Rick getting roped into a crazy plot where Rick's neck is on the line. No, this is ultimate Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
The Uber Magnum.
Yeah, yes, Rick's pool service. Yeah, I do. That's the dog smuggling that happens where Rick comes in the pool service van to secretly smuggle the dog out, but it's a. And that's the one where it's a fake, right? Where it's actually the lads are in the
right,
yes,
in there because
yes,
it's all
exactly.
part of their clever plan to stage a fake smuggling of the dogs. Oh, It's a dog. It's ridiculous. And it turns out that the gangster's girlfriend, when he got sent to jail or whatever, she got so mad. He says, keep the dog and don't let anything happen to the dog. And she got so mad at him that she sold the dog to gave the dog to one of her clients.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the number of a Swiss bank account is tattooed on the dog, and that's why he wants the dog, not because he likes the dog. The dog doesn't seem to like him at all, but the dog has...
Well, the dog is a very mean dog to everyone but Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, the dog barks a lot. That's the other thing. There are many points where they would get away scot-free, except the dog just keeps barking, and they keep hearing the dog, because that dumb dog keeps barking.
I want to say a few words in defense of the annoying Sharon Carnes, who's played by an actress named... Sean Hoskins.
Okay.
She's the perfect Magnum babe, where she just shows up, she's cute as a button, Magnum gets to smooch her, and all she wanted to do was work for the agricultural department talking to whales, but you have to work your way up to that, they put her in charge of the quarantine. She doesn't want to do quarantines, no, she's great, and I looked up the actress's credits. And she adds like 4 credits to her name, and it's all basically the same genre show. She went from Charlie's Angels to Quincy to this to like an L.A. Law, and that's about it.
Huh.
And
wow.
It is fantastic. And if anyone knows the life story of Sean Hoskins, I would provide a eager ear, because I'm just fascinated by people who are. In major primetime shows and have like a string of like 4, 5, 6 credits and then just fall off the map. What happened to him?
Hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I thought she was fine. I kind of thought her reactions were realistic for someone who has no idea she's going to be chased by gangsters that afternoon. Right? She was just delivering the damn dog.
Yes, she just wants to get the dog under quarantine under regulations for the state of Hawaii. It's a simple task.
And she can't figure out why he's lying about the gas tank. And then it's like, well, why are you lying about feds? And why are you... I mean, she's totally confused. She's not quick on the uptake about, you know... We have to avoid these people, right?
I want to go back to the chase, which just has some wonderfully dumb things in it. Because first off, you have the gas station where the Yale boy and his little friend are trying to grab the dog out of the car. And Magnum punches the first guy, and the other guy's halfway in the car, and Magnum starts pulling him out. And the guy says, well, what are you doing? Hey, man, I'm trying to reach in to get this dog. What? Oh, right, I'm dog napping. You're trying to stop me. Now I figured it out. That's great.
This is after they try to talk her into coming out with the dog. Like, yes. Oh, no, we've got dog inspectors.
We're his 5-0.
Yeah. We're the FDI, Federal Dog Inspectors, man.
Yep. Yep, that's good.
Show us your dog.
The whole thing is basically the coyote and the roadrunner. That's all this episode is. Because they keep trying and they keep failing. And
that's actually the thing. You get on the side of Michael V. Gazzo over time, right? Because because first it's like, come on, old man, we don't need your old stuff. We got to do this the right way. Because he's like, you just take the dog and shoot people. And it's like,
what is wrong
I'm on
with
their
you?
Side.
You can't
and then,
snitch a dog.
And then you see that they're very bad at this, and you realize, okay, maybe the violent old man is right.
And David, you say it's Coyote and Roadrunner, but it's really Coyote and Roadrunner with terrible ADR, because at several points during that chase, they cut to the car, and everyone knows what Michael V. Gazzo sounds like, and he's going from, oh, you guys, you screwed up the dog thing. You're going to get my dog, aren't you? It's just, oh, the voice changes.
It's very clearly loop dialogue that's been added during shots in the chase. And I don't know why, because it's not necessary that we hear dialogue then. There's the music, there's the action, but somebody said, nah, let's just stick in some dialogue here.
I don't know what Michael Gazzo's motivation is here. Does he want his dog back?
We need a little more exposition.
I'm sorry.
We need a little more exposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, you stupid hobbit guys with your ADR. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just record the dialogue once.
and use it, even if it's no good.
There's some dialogue. There's some dialogue in a car. It's not in this episode, but I was noticing in an earlier episode we watched for this podcast that there's dialogue mm-hmm. where very clearly the microphone on one actor worked and on the other actor it didn't. So like Tom Selleck sounds normal, like he's talking in his own voice and he's in a car, and maybe it's in the pilot, and the woman who's riding with him, it sounds like she's in space.
Yes, no, you're right. It was the snow and don't eat the snow.
But here it's not even seeing them move. It's literally like a far shot from a hillside of a car going down into the banana plantation, and then there'll be just words spoken by somebody because that was not interesting enough, I guess.
Hawaii is known for its banana clap. I don't know why we don't stop and look around.
And there's even a line at the end when they're in Michael Vigazzo's house and he's in his garage, and there's one line that's clearly looped in there, and at least they gave it an echo to sound like the rest of the lines. But again, it just sort of jumped out at me like, oh yeah, he didn't do it that day.
Yeah, and you know, obviously you make a TV show episode to air in January of 1981, people aren't gonna watch, they'll watch it on a rerun or something, they're gonna, you just slide it on by. But We noticed. I mean, I haven't seen this episode in maybe ever, and I didn't need to watch it a second time. So I can be generous, and yet at the same time, it's really badly done. It's really badly. There's a line late in the episode that I loved, is it Higgins who says it? Who says, the entire episode is absurd. And I thought, yes.
Yeah. It's when Higgins is criticizing TC and Magnum. Yeah, there's a moment where Magnum tries his little sting at the end, right? So Rick is driving the pool cleaning van, and he gets them to follow him. And so, of course, he gets run off the road. Yale guy jumps in, holds a gun on him, says, "Now, I want you to follow that car." Okay, so they start doing this, and then you realize that TC and Magnum are in the chopper, and as they're watching, the van is driving ahead of the car.
Yes!
The mobster's car is following them all the way. It's like, okay.
They should have done some ADR that said, no, this isn't working, you go ahead of the car.
Yeah, that's right. I told you guys, when you follow a car, you got to be behind it.
Also, I love the fact that, again, the ultimate, this is Magnum laying down the things that would guide it for the next 8 years, because of course Rick recognizes the mobster from his seedy underbelly old school neighborhood ways.
I'm Orville from Flatbush. I remember you.
You're Victor DiGiorgio.
Yeah.
Don't call me that. Hey, stupid kid.
Oh boy.
Oh my God.
This is a great episode.
It is.
And the episode opens with, you know, apparently Sir Algernon came on a ship, and so it's the port, and the announcements are like, the Pacific Princess has just docked, and my headcanon immediately was like, well, that's the Love Boat, and Captain Steuben just brought the dog to Hawaii.
They should have had Fred Grandy, like, dropping off the dog and doing a take to the camera going,
we didn't even mention that. That's the initial little action scene that happens, is that the two knuckleheads try to just take the dog out of the quarantine little area at the port, and they're foiled. They're foiled there too, as they're
foiled
they're,
by an old woman.
Stop! And they're like, oh, and then they run away.
You know, it was an old woman who brought down Al Capone, and also fingered John Dillinger. It's a tale as old as time.
Hey now.
Yeah, well, that's your problem.
So what we're saying is, if you're in the mood for some good Magnum PI, you could do a lot worse than The Ugliest Dog in Hawaii, season 1, episode 8. It's great.
Also, the guard at the dog shelter, who has literally the definition of Coke bottle glasses. That is a phrase that is thrown about with reckless abandon anytime someone has some thick glasses. This man actually took Coke bottles and is using them as his glasses. Uh-huh. It's Paul Gale from Sigmund and the Sea Monster, and a show that I watched almost as much as Magnum in my youth.
Yes, wow. I remember it well.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Whitaker.
That was a Sid Marty Krofft
kid.
Joint, wasn't it?
That is a Marty Krofft.
And when when I use the word joint with Sid Marty Krofft,
it has a double meaning, perhaps. Perhaps Sid and Marty Krofft were in that banana field.
They were in the banana field right next to those guys.
Some ideas for their next show.
They had their patch. Yeah.
I mean, they created Lidsville, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. HR puffin snuff. Yeah, sure.
Apropos of nothing.
Uh-huh.
I was watching a clip from the HR Puffin Stuff movie the other night, and I forgot there is a rat who is dressed as a Nazi in that movie, and that just
there is.
Like, what the hell is going on here? Magnum PI, but it's good stuff. I would recommend it.
I did like that the end credits had bloopers.
Oh, they're bloops. Yes, they're bloops.
I don't
think
they ever did that any other time. I don't remember that. But it's like Selleck and Hillerman cracking each other up, which is hilarious.
Oh, my good friend.
Yeah, that was, according to the canonical source of information about Magnum PI, Magnum Mania at magnum-mania.com. This is one of only a handful of episodes to showcase the bloops in the closing credits.
Okay.
Well, I think it's our mission to find the other ones.
Yeah, maybe so. But
Easter egg for the viewers.
Yeah.
If you are a fan of Donald Belisario and the dog, this is the dog that went on to join Jeff McKay in Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Yes, very talented.
They just
dog.
Put an eye patch on him.
Leo
which
the dog
is kind of mean.
That dog got as much work as Sean Hoskins.
Yeah, strange, isn't it?
Wow. 27 episodes.
Wow.
All right.
Jack was legitimately the smartest character on that show. So,
That's the ugliest dog in Hawaii.
It certainly is.
I'm Jason Snell, David J. Lohr, and Philip Michaels. Bye, guys.
I'm so happy to be here as well.
I am also Michael V. Gazzo.